In the silence, I can either go get myself another beverage, urinate, or do a small production of the HMS Pinafore.
Or all three.
Okay, I'm going to go in there and pee, and I'm going to be singing... I am a
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop miniature skirmish game from Mantic Games. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Fike. I am your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen.
Welcome to the 78th episode of Dead Zone the Podcast for December 2017. In this episode, we wish we had our Star Saga. As always, you can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to see all the pictures, or you can go to youtube.com/c/deadzonethepodcast for the video version of the show. Now on to the episode.
And welcome back to the Dead Zone Podcast. My name's Jack.
I'm Rob.
And this is episode 78, the big 7-8.
I was going to say the exact same thing.
You see, dull minds think alike.
Yeah, 78. It was going to be our unboxing for Star Saga, but it's not here yet. Ronnie, what's up, Star Saga?
Rob's t-shirt is damp with tears. He's done nothing but weep.
It's true. So if this ends up being short, blame Mantic. But hopefully you have enough to talk about. This is our Christmas themed episode, or holidays. Happy Hanukkah, Jack.
Oh, why, thank you. Happy holidays to all of our listeners. I don't care what religion or non-religion, what denomination, anything like that. I hope you all just take some time to be with your families.
Oh, I thought you were going to have a message there. I don't care what denomination you believe in or anything. You're all wrong.
There is no God. The one you believe in is no more real than any other.
I believe in them all.
Are you happy?
That's what I expected.
Oh, okay.
We do have some news. There is news.
No news.
Yes. So the first bit of news is a little thing is that the Veerman Tunneler that Jack just recently painted up and did a video about on Dead Zone the Podcast on YouTube. He did a little showcase video. The Tunneler is now available to purchase separately for US $39.99.
Very nice.
So and I'm sure some numbers in pounds, but I didn't write them down.
If you want to take a gander, yes, check out the video I did. It was a little small little...
Jack did a video. He was learning video editing.
Yeah. I had some time, so I wanted to see if I could do something, and that was the culmination. But I also noticed that our YouTube subscriptions, our subscribers has plateaued at the $130 area, sometimes a little more.
You mean people have left us?
I don't know. I don't have you have all the demographics. I'm sure there's a computer program.
I don't look at that stuff. I don't want to know.
Oh, okay. Well, so yeah, if you want to take a look at the Tunneler that I did, it's a 2-minute video. You can slip on over. You watch 2-minute video, hit subscribe,
like, comment.
You know, do that just for us. That is your Christmas gift, holiday gift to us.
Oh, and the millions of dollars. Don't forget that. Send that to us. You promised.
You've sullied every one of my good intentions.
I'm bah humbugging it.
You are bah humbugging.
I'm the Grinch.
There's going to be 3 ghosts visiting you tonight.
Are they hot? No.
Again, you took that in a very...
Sorry. Anyways, also, Mantic Open Day was in November. We never got to talk about it. There is a good video on Facebook, and we'll put the link in the show notes where Ronnie does a walkthrough, shows off the place. And we also have quite a bit of pictures from Andrew Sharp, had some preview pictures of what was at the show. And mostly it's a lot of cool nameless.
Yes. We're getting to see now what we're waiting with bated breath to be able to work with.
Yes, there's the big beastie with the tentacles. I like his tentacles.
Yeah. I know young Tyler was telling us how much of a dynamite model it was going to be, and it he was not lying.
Yes, it's very cool, and I like the paint job. You didn't? Is this the one you didn't like? I like the crustacean on it.
No, that's not the one I didn't like.
I like the way they did the reddish crustaceans. Then there's this crab guy we've seen before, but now we get to see a model of him.
And now we're seeing them. If you go to the podcast website where we've got all pictures, you can see they're on a display case. They're side by side, so they're you're going to get senses of scale, but you're also going to see like kind of a you can comparison shop at this point.
Yeah, you can see the size of them. That's good. Yeah, you can see all the various guys, the little crab guys, or the sniper kind of armored guys, and the other clawed, fiddler clawed ones.
The nameless certainly have exceeded my expectations for the Cthulhu-esque abominations that they are.
And we'll be getting in wave two of Star Saga, if our wave one eventually comes. We'll be getting two sets of these guys, so we'll have quite a bit. This is like a little brain one too. Little brain.
It's like a brain octopus.
And the two gun guy reminds me of the Dreadball guy. The guy with the gunslinger here reminds me of the hero from Dreadball. Which I painted up.
Well, we've
my armor was similar to that. Mine was white though.
And that's like a light gray. That's close enough. Now, we waited to do this podcast in the anticipation of having Star Saga here.
I don't know if we mentioned that before.
I wasn't doing it just to drive home to the listeners my disappointment. I was just saying that but we understand that there were some issues and some things were unavoidable. We're not gonna be shrieking and clawing at our hair and rending our clothes. It is what it is. You know, in the long run, we're just waiting for plastic toys to show up in the mail. But I'm actually more interested in what's coming in wave two.
Yeah.
I know that's jumping the gun a bit, but that's what I'm.
Yeah. And I don't know if these guys are wave one or two. We got the big sumo wrestler guys that are the new Dreadball team. He's got a big weapon. And there's also the monkey with his steel knuckles. I guess he's a gorilla. It's racist to call him a monkey.
Except for the way he's painted, he looks like a member of the chimpanzee family rather than a gorilla.
You do a more silverback?
I didn't paint that. I wish I could paint
would
like
you,
that.
Would you?
Would I make him more of a gorilla than a chimpanzee? Before I seen that picture, I probably would have because I'm a fan of a good lowland gorilla. But now an oversized, like a bonzo-type chimpanzee is... I can't see if he's got a tail or not. That would be the answer to all our questions.
Yep. No tail. He's an ape.
I would love to see his backside.
His nether region. There's the cool robot guy in the back there. He looks like he's got like missile launchers and stuff. And the crystal one.
Now, this is a Dreadball?
No, these are the Star Saga guys.
But
a lot of them are Dreadball teams that they've turned the races into the Star Saga.
Because we have the Crystallin, which is Dreadball. We have the sumo guy, which is going to be Dreadball.
Yeah.
So we have, it's like.
Monkey guy, there's Alpha Simian from Dreadball too.
Oh.
He's a big ape guy in Dreadball.
So my point being, like, worlds are colliding, the merging, the building.
They're finally doing what we expected to.
The world building, the actual construction of a cohesive inter-game, interplanetary, mantic world, which is what we've always said is probably the end goal to make everything as enjoyable as possible.
Yep. And we got some more guys here. I think that's a different type of Hun there. Forearm guy. Two of them there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what that guy in there is. There's a guy with a armor, the big gun. He looks cool. Is he an orc?
I think he's the orc. I think he's because he kind of his helmet kind of looks like this guy's.
I think there is that armored orc in the heroes there. I think a lot of these are wave two. I don't even think these are wave one guys.
I like I said, wave two is what I'm waiting on.
And here's the new rat like guys. Look at those claws. That's cool. Open hand claws.
Are they like mechanical gauntlets on those?
I don't know if they're, yeah, they look like it, almost like he's got robot arms, yeah.
Cyborg Veerman?
Yeah, it almost looks like it, because it's very robotic. I think he might be a Veerman who got his arms ripped off and they put cyborg arms on him.
Ugh.
That's cool, though.
He was reaching in, grabbed that little chunk of cheese, and then snap!
Yeah.
And the next thing he was like, oh, we better put some robot arms on him.
And we also got the new Khaleesi with a bird. He's got a bird on his shoulder. And I like him because he's not totally naked.
Yeah, he looks far less like a fantasy model pushed in just to appease game players from a whole other game line. He looks like maybe he could belong as a scout or something on in an Asterian world. He would be calling down, going, okay, drop the ciphers, drop the things, you know.
Yep. What else do we have here? Oh, we've got the Teraton, we got Monarch, and we've got the Sphere. I think they're Sphere. They got, looks like a head, maybe not, maybe they're a different race, but they're...
He looks like he's Crystallins in a sphere made sweet, sweet love, and the child came out. And with a head like that, tearing the birth canal asunder, yeah. Obviously.
But, I would hope that when they're babies, they're not that big. Otherwise, the poor mothers.
No, yeah, that would be. But we're looking at a picture now of a Teraton. We know the size of the Teraton model. And there are some big,
well,
big
this
models.
This might be the smaller version.
The male. But
the male, yeah.
But there's some big models.
Well, that's there. Obviously, the Monarch is definitely a peacekeeper. So you can see the size of him.
So just to put in a just a reference, a peacekeeper, then the Teraton could be, because of the sexual dimorphism, the peacekeeper alone, and then that guy,
the big blue guy with the missile launches on his shoulders,
and it looks like a flamethrower or something.
Yeah, he's a big bee. He's a big boy.
Yeah, he's a bamf.
Yeah, we also got the Sudoshan, I think that is the from Dreadball once again, the psychic guys, and. Looks like just some kind of human next to him. I don't even know who that is. And then some enforcers in the back. I don't know who that human in the front is, though.
No, it doesn't ring a bell.
No. There were so many mercs and stuff coming in Star Saga. I think we lost track of some of them.
Yeah. We can't keep track of all of them.
Well, sir, our roving reporter, Fisty Glue Man, was there. And he has some shots of some test models here.
Now, are you still claiming that there is a anthropomorphic glue bottle that you are in contact with?
Yeah.
I'm incredulous every time you mention it, and
He's actually into 3D printing. If you go on Fisty Glue Man's Twitter, he's posting all his 3D printing stuff he's doing for Dead Zone. Really cool stuff. So hopefully he'll put those files up for everybody to get, because he's designing his own terrain, which is cool.
Oh.
So in Fisty was there. I really like this girl right here. She's very military looking. She's got a grenade she's about to throw with her goggles. She's like Tank Girl.
She looks like aliens. Like she would be in there. Like
Vasquez.
Yes. My limited aliens knowledge, you were able to capture my reach into my brain and pull out who I was thinking of. But yes, that is who I'm referring to. She looks like a aliens.
Yeah, I really like that paint job on her too. And then there's another model we haven't talked about yet. It looks like Nastanza, but in a more crouched shooting position. Or it's a different character, but it looks kind of like her.
Yeah, the paint job, she's very subtle. It's very subdued, like not the, hey, I've got to put something on a game table so it has to have a little pop and flair.
It looks more like what I would paint.
More like in a lived-in, dirty world where we kind of dwell. We languish in a murky, rusty, oily, camouflaged world. And I think that model, I think that's why you picked up on it, actually.
Yeah.
Because it's the way you would do it.
And next to it is the sphere that we were talking about before with the head fins. Because look at that hook. They've got like a fisherman's hook, and you can see his tail in that picture.
There's a certain nautical theme going on there. Like,
they are fishermen.
Me, the monkey in the background is where I would go. That's my wheelhouse. But the sphere, if they start getting with the lore of, okay, they're particular kinds of weapons, they're particular kinds of...
It's like a boarding hook.
Cultural things. Yeah, where you would think that from their home world they would bring with them. It's all those small details in world building.
And look at these models. Look how like Mantic's, every time they put up a new model, it's getting more character and
yes,
they're really getting into stride now.
The Obi-Wan Kenobis and the Type 3As of the first wave. You know, we started this podcast before the game is even shipped, and we were happy with the models that we got. They have been surpassed in every single way.
Yeah, the sculpting is getting better and better, and the painting, but the sculpting too is especially. I think it's a little A from B because that's why Infinity is so popular because of Angel Heraldez's paint jobs. That makes any Infinity model look amazing, and they're nice models, but he makes them step up. And I think that helps with anything. Like, you can make a bad model look good, or you can make a good model look amazing with a good paint job.
That's been known since the dawn time. White Dwarf is built on that. That's the foundation of White Dwarf. People go buy, you know, you go into the convenience store, pick it up off that spinning rack thing like I do today. no, I don't. That doesn't exist. That is a – might as well be discussing my CD collection.
Every time you said White Dwarf, I was thinking, don't you mean Red Dwarf? No, wait, that's a TV show.
You know, when you go and you buy your Red Dwarf.
Your Lister. Anyways, yeah, I think the Mantic models have just stepped up. And like you say, all companies are, that's how they sell their miniatures. But I think Mantic's finally getting to that realm of, wow, look at these miniatures.
Mantic never had bad in-house painters. I will say that. They were always decent. Sometimes they follow my aesthetic. Sometimes they don't. You have to step outside of yourself and go, okay, maybe it's just not the way I would do it or just not what I think it should be. But aesthetically, it's still a fantastic job. They've never had bad painters. But with this Star Saga, I will say the bases are going to match the tiles. That the thought was put into the base. Thought was put into the... very much into what looks like a theme for the game itself.
Yeah, much more grittier, like you say.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fissy also took pictures of the concept vehicles, like the
mule.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think what they call that. You could tell that the wheels on it are 3D printed, but the other one looks like the body looks like it's been a sample, hard plastic sample.
Right, right.
And there was a rumor that they weren't going to have the Plague Dote version. It was just going to be the one, but you could see right here they have the Plague Dote cockpit.
Yeah, so whether that's just a, hey, what could have been, look, everyone.
I don't think they would show it if they're not going to have it.
I don't know.
It would cause me more anger.
This picture came from someone who claims to be a glue bottle. So I'm not going to rule out the fact that it is a hoax.
And then this next picture shows the Hornet in the background, which is cool. But look at the size of the Asterion vehicle, the Chima or the Chira. It's huge.
That is big.
Because you got to assume that the mule and the flyer be about the same size. The mule especially probably about the size of the... Maybe a little bit smaller than the Sturmhammer, in between the halter and the Sturmhammer, I would assume.
We know that the size of the mule, because we've seen pictures of it with miniatures, with Mantic models. So we know it's nice good size.
But the Asterion vehicle looks gigantic. It's probably the size of the Enforcer Flyer.
It's got just the nacelles on the side, like the whatever they use for thrust. I'm trying to assume where the thrust comes from in this very alien vehicle. So that's on me. But whatever those pods are on the side are almost as big.
Yeah, as the mule. It's a good size. Yeah, I'm impressed with it. That's wave two of Warpath.
And you had said that you could buy a bunch of marionettes. And attach them to the so it looked like they were able to be dropped.
Yeah, on the other version, this is the combat version, but on the transport version. Yeah.
But the transport version being the same size, you could very easily do that. That is not like just a pipe dream.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we'll take a short musical break. We'll be back. We'll talk about some other things.
Hey, this is Community Pat, and you are listening to Dead Zone, the podcast.
It is shout-outs time.
Yes, beautiful music. Beautiful. So now we have...
you turned Transylvanian there for a second.
It was my true heritage came up.
You were lurking about in the night with a cape on and a...
Blah, blah.
Yes. Anyways, your heritage aside.
Well, we'd like to give a Patreon shout-out to our newest Patreon. It's Richard Hall. Rick Hall, he's the man. He's a Pathfinder from... Michigan, and he's a Patreon backer now. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Rick. You have nothing better to spend your money on?
Don't say that.
Oh, what?
Thank you a lot. Please continue spending your money on us because you love us.
Yes, thank you very much.
And Rick is hosting a Dead Zone tournament at Evolution Games in Lansing, Michigan on January 21st.
So that's the hook. Free advertising on our illustrious podcast.
You didn't have to pay for it. I would have mentioned it anyways.
That's true. That is true.
So January 21st, Lansing, Michigan. If you're anywhere in the region, I believe Community Pat's going. He said last time I talked to him, he'd be going to it. It's only a couple hours away from Chicago. So, and I think it's conveniently located to anywhere in the area, Ohio or Windsor, Ontario. It's a little far for us. It is about 5 hour drive. Jeff Burbage might even be going. He lives in Toronto, but it's a straighter shot for him.
Yeah, I in high school we did a road trip that way, and it was the route we took was a little of the scenic route, but it was almost 8 hours.
Yeah, but if you go on the highway, it's 5. I MapQuested, it's 5 hours. So Lansing, but still too far in the winter to be driving for us. Mm-hmm. But please do go. It's 200 point tournaments, as all of them should be. $10 entrance fee, and we have the link to the info in the document, in the website, or at the bottom if you're on YouTube. It's in the information.
Information?
Yes. I don't believe in ours.
you don't believe in them, so you're going to abel?
My name is Ab Hop. It's hard. I got 3 R's in my name.
I was ashamed of my joke. And then you just, all my guilt is washed away by that.
I went too far.
You did. You did.
I've gone too far. We do have some more shout outs. We do have an update on the Pit Dead Zone League. Once again, there's a link to everything, the Facebook group in the show notes.
Not one person wanted to get my support.
Nobody paid you.
No, I wasn't even looking for payment. I kind of was, but no one even said, "Hey, buddy, do you want to just
on Facebook.
Use your platform to that." Yeah, but I thought an email. They could have said fired you off an
That's
email.
That's true. You can email. I'll forward it to Jack. It's deadzonepodcast@gmail.com.
No, I'm a little hurt now. I don't want to hear from any of you.
But if one of you does request his support, he will throw his whole back towards you because he is a whore.
Yeah. I've got a lot of anger to get out. It's very.
So, yeah. Just give him some bad information about your opponents. He'll badmouth them to no end.
And I'll just praise you. I'll give you audible back rubs like you would not believe. If you just want to hear someone just prop you up, the pedestal, no pedestal too high, if that's the case. But you know what? You had your chance. You had your chance.
Anyways. Round 5 is going to start soon, or it has started, I'm not sure. And if you go to the Pit Dead Zone League, you can vote on the winners of that round 5, and you can get prizes. There's community prizes. Anybody in the Dead Zone Fanatics group, you go there where the link is, and you can have a chance to win some of the cool Frontier Wargaming terrain. There is a refrigerator container and a shipping container up for grabs, I believe. And they're fully stackable containers made from a double layer 3mm HDF. And they're a great addition to any Dead Zone table, I hear.
Well, that's good. That's good. Free stuff for playing a game.
Not even playing. You just have to guess the results.
Well,
I guess that's a form of game.
Yeah, I would say It's not rolling a hoop down the street or, stickball, but, you know.
So to enter, all you have to do is go to the round 5 post in the Dead Zone Fanatics group and comment predicting your outcomes, i.e. who will win or if there'll be draws of the 7 games in round 5. So there you go. I actually put in my predictions this time.
Oh.
So I hope to win.
I hope you win too.
Because Coach put in his predictions last time and didn't win. Well, we don't know if he won yet. I don't think it's over yet. But I hope just to win it and Coach doesn't win it so I can rub it in his face.
So are we turning this into a rivalry between the Dead Zone, the podcast, and...
I just bleeped that out because we're not having that name on this podcast.
Oh.
I do listen to Third Sphere because we do that commercial where Jack's like, "I'm Jack from Dead Zone, the podcast." And at the random, I'm like... But don't listen to these guys. I enjoy the fact they actually put that in their podcast.
Yes, yes. A little rivalry never hurt. We keep it all lighthearted. We're all friends.
Yes.
But yeah. So yeah, hopefully you win.
That'd be funny. And in addition to that, the Pit League, KR Multicase is now sponsoring the league. He's got another sponsor for him. And I just recently on Black Friday, they had a deal on Amazon.co.uk, of all places. And I was able to get a little KR Multicase. It's branded with Terminator Genesis. And it came with, like, I think it came with 10 little Terminators. They must have had something that, obviously, Terminator Genesis is a failed game that just went nowhere. So they must have just had these laying around. So they sold them cheap. I think I got the case for $10.
I have so many questions.
And I got foam for inside of it. And so I have a little KR Multicase now that says Terminator Genesis on it.
Just making the movie was a bad idea and everyone knew it. Who thought a product line for that?
It was Rimmerless. It was Alessio Cavatori. He did this. It's a Terminator game. Like, it was branded Terminator Genesis because that was the movie that came out.
Right.
So if you want Terminators or the really cool vehicles and stuff, it's actually a way, good way to get it. But
so did you just take the Terminators out and throw them over your shoulder like you would like a turkey bone at a feast?
They're neat. They actually snap together. You don't have to glue them. They just snap together. So I snapped them all together and put them on amongst my desk dust stuff on my shelf. So dust is invaded by Terminators.
Now you have a case that...
Yes, now I do have a case though. Oh. So it's a little case. It's only, probably 12 inches by 8 inches maybe.
Enough to put in some miniatures?
Yeah, it's two layers of foam. So I think it's 78 miniatures you could fit.
Oh.
So that's I'm probably going to transport my Test of Honor. Because I'm in the Test of Honor tournament at Adepticon.
Looks like you're bringing all the miniatures for Adepticon.
No, I don't think it fit everything. Maybe. We'll see how much we can fit in there. Nah. But Jack will have quite a... He's in the Dead Zone tournament. I don't have to bring no Dead Zone miniatures to Adepticon. Jack does.
Well, we should save that because we'll
discuss Adepticon later.
Yeah. All our secrets and all our, our dirty, dirty, hidden, shadowy secrets. And before we leave, we've just discussed Ben Edwards. I just want to thank him again. He gave me a quick tutorial on Battlescribe. Rob's laughing.
Because it was embarrassing.
Yeah.
But we interviewed the poor guy and Jack like forces him to teach him how to use Battlescribe.
He's like, I gotta go. You know, I just got off work. I'm still in my suit and tie, whatever.
Before you go. And teach me how to use this.
Someone who had listened, that's how I know he's not fully long-standing member of the Hats and Monocles Club. He's not one of our rogues gallery because he was like, why sure, Mr. Fike, let's.
It should be easy. All you have to do is know how to use a phone and the internet. Oh,
your technical prowess will walk us through this. Yes. So I just want to say thank you again. I understand you had just worked a full shift. Whatever you do, I don't even know what you do.
You keep doing it.
Yeah. But
you keep doing what you do.
He took the time because team building exercise is better for it.
It's true. He's so excited to do it now.
I'm better for it, and I've really enjoyed the time. So, Mr. Edwards,
become a list tinkerer. He's like a coach now.
I'm starting to. And that's on you, Ed. That is on you. His name's not Ed. It's Ben Edwards.
I thought you were giving him a little nickname.
He's Ed to me now.
You're Ed to me now.
Oh.
It's like the opposite. You're dead to me.
You're not dead to me. Thank
you're
you.
You're Ed to me.
Yes, you are Ed to me.
We do have a social media blitz. And we do have some pictures I pulled off social media. The first one's from Tim Barker. He made an Iron Ancestor and modded him up. This is the coolest Iron Ancestor I've ever seen. Only the paint job, which is red and white.
It looks chibi. It looks like a Japanese girl would wear a backpack with that on it. But when you really start looking down.
I don't know how he got the dynamic pose. The legs, Iron Ancestors had the least dynamic pose ever, but somehow he was able to get a dynamic pose.
Because those legs are not Iron Ancestor legs.
Yes, they are.
They can't be.
They are.
No.
He's stepping on something, but they are Iron Ancestor legs. Yeah, they are.
But the hammer's gone, which Rob, I'm not going to let Rob get into it. The hammer with the little...
Oh, I hate the little hammer.
I'm not... No, stop.
But yeah, he gave his one side's the regular dual canon, but the other side, I think it's the, it's a modification, I think, of the four cannon
from the top of the tank?
Yeah, or no, from that, I think it's from the, little vehicle, that little, what's it called? What is that thing? Desolator? Whatever it's called.
But the main thing is, it's the body that has, you can tell it's an Iron Ancestor, and then all the stuff around it is making it that much better. And you know what? I've seen 3D printed, Jeff Burbage did 3D printed the twin turbo cannon, and that's nice. That's nice, but look at that thing.
He's stepping on, I think that's either a mob beast or a, it's something. You can see he's stepping on it.
Yeah, and I...
It's a great mod. Like, this is amazing to see.
That big hose down the side. And
he has like plasma going through it.
So much detail.
Really well done. And a snow base.
And you know what? As a quick side note, it's tangentially connected.
Okay.
What Mantic does, Mantic knows their line has room for improvement. They don't make everything in individuals. I'm not going to be able to go buy a tunnel or a plague swarm by itself. I'm not going to be able to buy rat swarms by themselves. They don't make in abundance the stunt bots. But at no point have I heard anyone go, "Oh, you added a tube to the the weapon of that arm isn't a you can't do the, you know." No one lashes out at anyone. Creativity is encouraged, and that's why I like to see that.
Yeah, exactly. The next one's from some guy named Andrew Jashin. Never heard of the guy.
Never heard of him. But I have.
Have you?
Yeah, young Andrew. He was hobbling around Adepticon with a cast on his leg last year.
Remember? I think this is actually his father.
Never heard of him.
Yeah. Anyways, this guy, he got some Thorgrim, and he did them up. He actually has a video on the Family Gamer 777 channel. It just went up.
Never heard of it.
He had a shot of them, but this is a shot of the work in progress of the Thorgrim. The Thorgrim are metal bits that you add on to your Steel Warriors to make them two-handed hammers, and there's an extra head for the leader. And he said it's a little bit finicky to get the arms to – he had some green stuff and some – he had to really work out how to get the arms and the – that's always true with two-handed weapons, though. I hate two-handed weapons. Every single model I've ever done from any company, two-handed weapons never fit right.
And it's always a problem with mixed medium.
Yes, yeah, metal and the plastic.
The metal and the plastic, they're molded separately. There's so many variables. But you know what? Some people, enjoy the modeling aspect to put the arms where you want to making it your own. That's the price you pay.
Yeah. But, on that, video on Family Gamers, he has them painted up and they look amazing. So it's well worth the effort. And, I do like them and I do want some.
Now for Dead Zone.
Yes, there's if you didn't get the joke, it's just Andrew Jashin is actually coach and he is on the rules committee. He's actually
when you have to explain a joke, funny.
But just because I had to explain this is that they're writing rules. He is currently writing rules for these guys for Dead Zone. And they are in Warpath. He says they're not very good for Warpath, but in Dead Zone they're gonna rock because they're cool. Dwarves need some hand-to-hand in Dead Zone. So.
He's a fan of the Forge Fathers, so you know that it's coming from a place of love. And I can't believe you ruined the joke, but now that it is ruined, he's doing a lot of hard work rules-wise. And I think that in the Mantic universe, like we just discussed earlier, if everything's cross-promoted, if the world is that big, if it's in Firefight, it's got to be in Dead Zone, and that's just the way it is. Someone's got to do the hard job of translating the thing, and he's doing it.
It's those rules committee. It's not just him. It's everybody. There's a bunch of
– yes, yes.
But the rules committee is hard working, trying to get all the Star Saga guys into Dead Zone and all the Warpath guys into Dead Zone. They're coming both ways. They're fixing up all the mercs. Yeah. They're creating new mercs.
It's
like a lot of top secret stuff here, but there's some,
we've got
we
a
can't
lot of
speak much about. Pretty soon, you'll be seeing a lot of stuff coming out. Yeah.
Some very enjoyable stuff.
Yes, and some stuff close to home.
And I know we talk a lot about Coach, and we say, "Oh yeah, he's doing," but he speaks very highly of Andrew Sharp.
Oh yeah, and all of them. Of course, Shane's on the group, and then,
But we talk to Shane all the time, so for me,
screw that guy.
For me to say that. I was highlighting someone that we don't talk to all the time.
True, yeah.
I was bringing someone else into the fold. Shane, he talks to Shane Neural all the time. We talk to him all the time. So,
But yes, Andrew Sharp is another big name that we see on the rules committee all the time. He's hard at work.
Yes.
The next pictures are from Matthew Mountain. He's in the Dead Zone League with Ben Edwards. I think he might actually either run the store that it's at or work there.
He didn't ask me for my input, so he's dead to me.
But he is painting up the Star Saga miniatures. The first one he's got here is the Devil.
I wish I could see it, but I'm not. I'm looking away.
You refused to look at it because you didn't ask him to support you in the tournament.
Yeah, it sounds very petty, but sometimes a very small, petty man. And I thought someone would jump on the free advertising, the boost. I thought for sure, but
nope. And it's really well done. I like the way he's got all the folds in the jacket and the pants. They've done really well.
I like how Rob just keeps pushing the picture closer and closer until I have no choice but to look. Yeah.
And he's also done Dolinsky. And Dolinsky, the best thing. Look, she's got face paint on. She reminds me of Tunnel Rat from G.I. Joe.
Yeah, well, Matthew Melton, you're lucky that that he has invoked the G.I. Joe nostalgia, because I have to look. And yes, Tunnel Rat was my favorite of the last wave of G.I. Joes. Second favorite was Sci-Fi, even though he was a neon green sniper. I'm not gonna lie, but in the movie, when Tunnel Rat comes out of there and – oh, I digress.
I'm still amazed that you said Sci-Fi was one of your favorite – come on.
Well, the other one was a basketball player.
Well, you could have Lieutenant Falcon, Don Johnson.
No, but you know what? I had the Indian with the Falcon. His Falcon was named Falcon, so I'd already.
No, it was Spirit, and
his wolf was called what?
No, not Wolf. The Indian guy had a bird.
Yeah, Spirit, and
I can't remember.
I still have him, by the way.
He's probably worth millions.
I have a treasure trove.
Good job, Matthew Mountain.
Yes, we apologize.
Oh, and speak of the devil, Andrew Sharp is the next person we're talking about.
Oh.
And he did a mod of a strider to be a goblin strider. He's got a little goblin in the cockpit.
And you know, those rocket packs that I very, very rarely see anyone use, he's got
one on his shoulder,
so it looks symmetrical. I think it's the perfect placement for it. Modified the cockpit to stuff a very goggled – I wonder. Stunt bots are a thing of mystery and are notoriously difficult to get your hands on. The stunt bot is a unicorn now in the Mantic world. People are starting to make modifications. And the Strider chassis with a goblin inside, I applaud that.
Yeah, he looks good. And we got a shot of the back. It's just it's the back of the Strider. It's got nothing new going on there.
No, but I can tell if it's a chimpanzee or a gorilla at this point.
Yep, no tail.
No tail.
Next is Craig Holmes. Craig has done a bunch of the superhero mods that I like to see. The first one he did was the Punisher.
See, that looks dynamite. This is in Rob's wheelhouse. Rob has always wanted to make a strike force that looked like
superheroes. Like
G.I. Joe is the one he wants. Well, we saw the Punisher before, and it is nice.
Yeah, he does it nice, really skull on his chest. It worked really nicely.
And it's the John Barenthal Punisher. How far have you gotten?
I've only had two episodes, so don't bother me.
Okay. I'm not going to bother you because
no spoilers.
No spoilers. Even just the the emblem. Nah.
The next one is
anyone who says it's a weak season. I'm going to digress again. I'm digressing all over this thing. Good, it's a good thing our Patreon subscribers have said that they don't want commercials, because it just allows me to go off. Anyone who says that the first season of Punisher is boring or it's slow burn, the only people I've heard or seen critiquing it are people who have never been dangerous. You get some dangerous people. I was in the army. I'm not
dangerous.
I don't want to be like a valor. I don't want to steal valor. I don't. When two people who are dangerous just sit and they banter a little bit, and there's if you can feel it in the air, and it's palatable. And if you're looking at, and you've never been in a position where you've just been deadly, There are scenes. There are 15-minute long scenes of two people, a CIA spook and the Punisher, just talking. And I can see how you're like, oh, this is bullshit. At either time, at all times, there's a heightened. Oh, it is so good. It is so good. Anyways, yes.
The next one is Iron Man he's done with the visor up, which I thought was a nice addition.
I'm sorry. Rob's going to have to start reining me in. Now that I know that I got more time.
He's got a mustache.
He's got the
Tony Stark.
The mask up in the, so you can see the face. It is very much a Tony Stark Iron Man.
The next one is War Machine, and he used some Dreadball arms to and he put the gun on the shoulder like War Machine.
Like War Machine, that is dynamite.
I love it when you put any kind of weapon on the shoulder. That's the way to go. And he's got the whole group here. He's got Punisher, Winter Soldier. We never showed her close up, but he has Winter Soldier. And then he's got War Machine and Iron Man.
And the War Machine being in a wheelchair is part of the canon. And it's, oh, no, that is not true.
But yeah, good job. Good job, Greg.
That is a very good job. And you know what? Making a theme army, that is right in Rob's wheelhouse.
Yes.
If you want to just, give him a little – tickle his heart just a little bit, that's how
you do it.
Yes,
please forward any themed armies you've painted up to either deadzonepodcast@gmail.com or put them at Dead Zone Fanatics. I'll probably see them there and I'll put them up because I do love that. And I love mods too. Anybody mods up anything?
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll take another short commercial. No.
No commercials.
No. Audio pleasure.
I would like to thank all of our Patreon supporters because they made this happen.
Yep. And you too can make this happen.
The only reason there's music, to be honest, is because when we record, it makes it easier for editing if there's succinct, very, very, very small blocks. That's just making life easier for Rob. And if that's why you're supporting, then that's what you're getting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Coaching Friends. And today I'm joined with Roberto and Jeek.
Now for a segment we call Our Stuff.
And welcome back. What's next? What do we got coming up?
Well, we would have had an unboxing.
Oh,
we're on a high there. I had to bring it back down to earth. Harumph, is all I could say.
Harumph. Harumph. Are you going to read us some bad poetry as punishment?
No. No. Our stuff, though, as I mentioned earlier, Jack did do a video about his stuff because he did his Tunneler.
Yes.
And it's nice and rusty. Please tell us about your Tunneler.
Go look at the video.
Please tell us about your Tunneler.
Oh, yeah. I'm a fan of the Veerman. Have been since their inception.
Never knew.
I'm pro Veerman. I wish that I had a T-shirt that if we had a PO box, I would say send Veerman T-shirts to me.
We should make a T-shirt and put it on our cafe press.
I should just make
it. It just should say I'm pro Veerman.
Veerman forever.
It's going to be Eva, E-V-A.
Gangster Veerman, yes.
Oh, and then like a Veerman doing like gangster signs.
Yeah, yeah.
Draw that up. It's a T-shirt.
With a do-rag and a, yeah. I don't know if I could wear that in good conscience, to be honest.
And then you'd be eating Joe Louis. That one's for Pat.
That's for Pat, yeah. Yeah. A long story short, I've even when they were the worst faction by a huge margin, I loved the Veerman. So anyways, I got the Tunneler. Now, Rob finances this whole thing, so he didn't need to give it to me. But he knows that I would be outside of his window, his bedroom window. I would go next town over and be just like staring in at the Tunneler in its bag, just like with one single tear.
Now it's two towns over.
Yeah, yeah. We're moving farther and farther apart, but that's, you know.
Only emotionally.
Yes. Yeah. But okay. Bringing it back. I just made a motion. I'm bringing it back.
Bringing it back.
I'm pulling the reins.
Rein it in.
The leash is very long now, and I've got to pull it in.
Jack promised to make up all the time for commercials, so I'm letting him off his leash a bit.
He says that with his words, but his body, his gesticulation, his face.
As I tense up and go, ugh.
Yeah, everything. 4 hours with a Punisher content as he's going the break. The short and sweet of it is I really went to town with it being bodged together pieces and to be out of, you know, not – I expect the Forge Fathers to have pretty pristine vehicles.
Yeah, when people rough up the Forge Fathers, I'm always a little – you do what you want, but I'm always – for mine especially, they're going to be pretty pristine. I don't see a Forge Father letting his rust get on his vehicle at all. I think that'd be against his
– Yeah, they've got the shekels. They've got a mobilized –
And they have like a – I think they have some pride, unlike the Veermen.
True. The Veermen are scavengers in my mind, in my head canon, and I hope it swings a little bit that way rather than – but anyways – I said I was going to rein myself in, and I'm now wandering off to how I think the Veermen should be.
I think they're, especially in the books, they're especially, like, if you read the Warpath book, First Strike, which actually I think currently is on the desk.
Yeah, because I'm reading that next. Actually, I'm in the middle of that.
Oh, you haven't read it?
I read it once.
Oh, okay, you read it already. Because, yeah, and the Veermen in that are very scavenger and hiding in the shadows, kind of.
To pull back the curtain a little bit, it's Canada, it's December, and there's snow outside, so I've been doing a lot of reading, a lot of painting, so.
Yeah, you'll notice that there's been a huge uptick in Jack's production.
Yes, yes. Yard work and, lurking about the neighborhood in my baby outfit, a lot less.
Seeing Jack's face as he tried to figure out where that sentence was going was the best.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he went to baby and he's like, where am I going here?
I want to be funny. But I gotta, yeah.
Baby outfit?
No, baby outfit.
Anyways. Yes.
I have digressed. You've digressed.
I don't know what we're talking about.
So the Tunneler has a more beat up, scavenged look to it. And the only real thing that I would say is the secret weapon, rust effects on there. I'm starting to learn. I bought it at the Adepticon. Only one color. Should have bought two. Should have listened to the person at the stall, who I think is one of the owners of Adepticon.
You mean secret weapon?
Of secret weapon. I was led to,
someone implied that to you?
Yes. He said, oh, you're going to need this, this, and this. But I chose the color I always used for rust with painting. And now I need a highlight. But anyways, that is a secret weapon, rust effects. Done improperly. Done by someone who's just learning. I think I'm getting there, but I need to do more work.
And I do like the verdigris on the pipes, like their brass pipes.
I did just a very little, assuming they're a copper of some sort. But yeah. Take a look at the video. 2 minutes. Go subscribe.
Like, comment, hit the ding that dong or whatever the people say. I never knew, because that's the most annoying thing on YouTube.
Let's never say that again.
Don't do that, because you don't want people to, you don't want us every time we post a video to have it emailed to you or something. Although we do it once a month, so it's not that bad, but.
Yeah. I would rather you not be bothered, to be honest. I'm sure there's an algorithm that says that everyone presses that bell, puts you higher up into the thing.
Well, we don't monetize our anything anymore anyway, so.
Okay.
There's no commercials on YouTube either.
I would.
Well, not that we put in there. Who knows?
Yeah, we don't. Does. We don't. If YouTube does something, we're doing this for the goodness, of the community.
We do it for the patrons. Top Hats and Nameless Club. That's what we do it for.
Yeah.
And those who don't pay, I guess.
Yes, I like that. But if there's a commercial, it's not us.
Anyways, point is, good tunneler. But you also did tunnel runners.
I did do some tunnel runners. Because for Adepticon, I believe I'm bringing the Veermen, because I need to wave.
That's not what I heard last time you said.
Wave that flag high. You know what?
We'll get into that at the end.
Okay. We have an Adepticon thing.
We'll have an Adepticon talk at the end.
Adepticon talk. Not Adeptic prep.
That's not until late February, early March.
Yeah, we're a few months out. We're probably about 100
days
out.
This is we're all excited about Adepticon right now.
I am this year. But anyways, Veermen, most likely. I've got a proverbial banner. There's not a proverb about banners. what's it called? Like a,
you're the standard bearer for all Veerman love.
I will take that. I will take that. Anyways, so I made a list that, I've got two lists that I'm going to work on. Rob and I are going to be doing some, Dead Zone gaming. Usually we just play. We don't do very many, like, battle reports and all like that, but I think maybe we'll have to do at least one. But anyways, I've got two lists that have, one of them has Tunnel Runners in it, so I need to make sure they were painted. So you can see what they look like. The pictures that Rob have, I think I took them before I had used the Army Painter matte to take down some of the shine, but,
they still show it off pretty good. They're, a lot of detail. Like, I have one to paint. I gave Jack two, and I have one. And I just have him Zenith right now, and I'm looking at him like, Jesus, that's a lot of little bits to paint.
There's a lot of little bits. I had to decide what was going to be silver, what was going to be what was going to be
copperish. And
yeah, like, goldish, and there's...
What color did you use for the actual wheel? It's kind of like a... It's your patented... You did a plane for dust in that color too, right?
Yeah. I call it brushed aluminum.
Could you tell us how you mix this brushed aluminum? Because I'd like to know. Or is it a secret?
It is a trade secret.
Oh, it's a really cool effect.
Literally cannot tell you because it was handed down to me from a Japanese swordsmith. He made Damascus steel swords, katanas. But he also painted miniatures, and he made this
color combination.
Yes, he was wizened. Very.
He's implying he had a long beard. I didn't see the emotion.
I was thinking Fu Manchu. Oh, Fu Manchu as that well.
Bow into a braid underneath.
Yes, obviously, obviously.
Yes, he's not a biker from Tijuana. He's a wizened Japanese guy.
Yes, yes. At no point would he be at any bar that Dusk Till Dawn had highlighted as a set piece for what is an amazing turnaround in mid-movie. If we really want to get into it.
We're not going to Dusk Till Dawn.
Okay.
Anything else you've done recently?
I've done plenty, but I've got a ration this.
Okay. We'll talk about more on the next episode then.
Especially since one of the talking pieces for our upcoming Adepticon might involve some of the stuff I've been working on.
Okay.
Yeah, but I really like the Tunnel Runners. And I did, I made one green and one brown so that I could tell them apart on my list so that my opponent would be able to know. Mm-hmm. And I swapped out an arm on one of them so that they'd be different. And I swapped out a head on one of them so it'd be a little bit different as well. But just so that if someone said, hey, this one has this, there'd be some differentiating between the two.
Mm-hmm. So what I've been working on is I've been –
What have you been working on?
Well, I think I mentioned before that I've been molding up the mono wheels since Mantic refused to make them.
If we hadn't got a cease and desist letter.
I never got anything from Mantic, especially not Star Saga.
Ooh.
Oh. Or a cease and desist or any tape to tape back up my Star Saga to or a Crazy Box. We're in for a Crazy Box too. Anyways, so I can talk about this still. I've made some molds of some of the mono wheels. And the first picture here is the first two I made were kind of rough and ready on one side, so I turned them into objective markers.
Perfectly reasonable.
And I drew a little X and a little Z on each of them to do the X and Z objective markers. And threw a lot of roughened them up and threw a lot of debris on them so we can use them as objective markers now. And then the next picture is the two mono wheels. The one is the one I've modded up. You can see it's a little bit thicker, the one I molded up, and then the original there next to it. You can see the comparison.
The first one you said there's a bit of a learning curve on how much material to use and whatever, and the one turned out a little.
Yeah, as I do more and more, I'm getting it smaller and smaller, but even so, even with the little bit thicker, it still looks like a mono wheel, I think. They turned out pretty good. And that's pretty much all I've been working on. I have also done, I did a bunch of Sphere from Dreadball that I had painted up.
I was wondering if you were going to...
I was
going to
wait till next one, but I might as well talk about it now. That there was a whole, for some reason, there was like a spat of people modding up Sphere from Dreadball into Dead Zone.
It was an avalanche of people. Yeah. If I were at Mantic... I'm not talking the top. I'm talking Ronnie. I'm sure there's plenty of buffer between. But with such a wave of people
wanting that
sphere teams, there must be something about their aesthetic that just grabs people, like Veerman grabbed me, like bikini clad women grab you
with lots of tattoos.
That's not my thing.
That's a classic.
That's a callback. No one listening now gets that.
I don't even think it's from this podcast.
It's from a different podcast, yeah. A whole different thing. Anyways.
Suicide Girls. Hot. Anyways.
Yeah, there's been so many people who want a Saphir team with the guns, with the, like, the Dreadball Saphir turned into Dead Zone.
Oh, it's pretty easy to do. Luckily, they're all of, like, their fists clenched, so you could put a gun in their hand pretty easily. So I modded up a bunch of them. I gave one guy a grenade launcher, lots of different weapons. Mostly I used GCPS weapons because I thought they looked the best.
Really? I thought they were Pathfinder weapons.
The one guy's got a tag rifle in his back, but the rest are GCPS weapons.
Oh, okay. Well, that's my mistake.
Yeah. And I chose, I think mostly after GCPS. Once again, we had tons of GCPS extra weapons because it came with so many options. So that was mostly why I used it.
That's not a condemnment at all.
No, that's awesome.
That's the way it should be.
And I gave two of them defender shields because they can have them in the list, which I was happy to see. Mm-hmm. And the one guy is the striker, I think he is, for the Dreadball team. And he's running forward. And I put the shield. He looks like he's running forward with a shield in front of him. It's cool. It was really easy to do. Those miniatures were already painted, so all I did was glue on some weapons, prime those weapons, and paint those weapons on them. So that's how easy you can modify stuff. And I think it turned out pretty good.
And your strike team has a emblem of sorts on the shield.
I did one with like one's got like a trident, and the other one's got waves kind of on his shields. I thought they graffiti up the shields they stole from the GCP or from the enforcers.
Well, that's in your head, canon. I did that. I hadn't assumed that. I assumed that there was some sort of like I said.
Well, they are reps. They're all dirty thieves. So
I agree.
Speaking of dirty,
as soon as we can agree that the Empire was in the right in the Star Wars universe, then we are simpatico at that point.
I'm also there. I do have from Dreadball Extreme also the convicts. So I might turn the whole convict team into rebs too. So I have a sphere and convict team.
Well, I would only ask that you take a before and after picture.
I'm sure we have before pictures when we painted up originally.
So. May or may not be the case. If you can find them or whatever.
Okay. I'll post both.
Because there's been so many sphere conversions, but I've yet to see someone go, this is what it looked like before. This is how it looks like after.
Well, most of them did them from scratch. I think I'm the only crazy person who would convert pre-painted miniatures.
You are a crazy man.
Mostly I just don't care. Like, I don't care about my Dreadball teams. So Jeff Burbage got mad at me for defacing a Dreadball team.
He has been the biggest proponent that I know of Dreadball. He loves the game. Until I saw him nonplussed about Tyler throwing water all over a bunch of painted Dreadball miniatures and a painted, or it was a Merlot. I'm sorry. It is now officially Merlot.
Yes.
Yes. I apologize there. The story is now that it was a glass of Merlot that splashed all over. He loves the game. He loves everything about it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I can see how he would. That's one less Dreadball team in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that covers our stuff. We want to talk about some Adepticon?
Yes, because we're starting to get into the cusp.
Registered for it.
The event horizon that is Adepticon's black hole.
We tried on the first day, as it opened up, tried to get VIP tickets. It sold out before my page loaded.
Yes. We also tried to get into a hotel.
Yeah, it sold out before I was able to do that. So we're at a different hotel from last year, so no happy hour, but still all right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're going to make our own happy hour.
We're not
beholden to them.
And we're not like Tyler, who comes with a wooden bowl in hand asking for alms of shelter. We do have a place to sleep. So
it's really on Tyler. He's made fun of him dropping Merlot all over Burbage's stuff now.
Have I been too hard on Tyler?
Maybe. He gets a bed this year, I think.
He gets a well. Obviously, now he's part of the planning committee, so he gets a bid. He's not in a nest. And it was literally a nest. I cannot. I don't know if we've said
this. We should have taken pictures of it.
If we have not said this before, if this is news to anyone, he was literally in a nest of cushions
in our corner of our room.
In a corner of the room, beside the TV, with his suitcases around him as a perimeter.
Like it poor was a, guy.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah. So Adeptcon will be at the Spring Hill across the highway. So we have to. That's the place we were at the first year we went to Adeptcon.
Yes.
It's a nice hotel, so it should be fine. And hopefully we'll be renting a car, so we'll have a mobile HQ.
Yeah.
And hopefully also, I think Coach plans to bring a cooler, so we'll have a mobile HQ in that way too.
That's right. So if you want a little tippin', a little aperitif after your, you don't even need to have eaten anything. Stop on by. We might have a little something for you. We're gonna be just playing games. We're gonna find a spot. We're gonna sit. We're gonna make it apparent where we are.
Yeah.
Just come on by. We love meeting people.
Yeah, we would definitely want to play more games with listeners this year. We never got to play that many last year. Jack got a few, but
I had quite a few. But now that we've met more people,
yeah. Yeah. We'll know more faces this year, I think.
Last year was walk-ons.
Yeah.
This year, I want old favorites. Hopefully, Chris comes back. I want to talk to him.
Yep. We know Rick Hall is going to be there. We get to see him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're a listener and come on by, say hi to us. I'm sure we'll have our Dead Zone, the podcast, hoodies on. So
a shot of whiskey and a game of...
Or you can have water because you'll need it because that place sucks the moisture out of your body.
Bring chapstick.
Chapstick. But, I think Shane said he's going to bring a whole bunch and make some money off some having chapstick.
The three things I noticed, the pictures and the chronological order of the... I've been drinking.
Chronological
order of the pictures. I got a huge paunch. Americans, you don't need to supply that much food when you go out. You don't. I don't know. It explains a lot about the
Am I going to have to edit all this out?
Maybe. The second is the bags under my eyes. I got so tired. By the end, I had a gut. And I had bags under my eyes. The third was people had chapped lips.
I did.
Ruined. I'd brought chapstick. So I was good. I offered to share. No one took me up on it. Maybe it's because every once in a while I get that big nodule on the side of my lip, that big pussy. No, I don't. No, even for the sake of comedy, that Rob's giving me that
on the herpes A.
Yeah. It's not a joke. You're not a modern day.
Anyways, yes. So come say hi, but we'll talk about much more about that when we get there. Mostly, I wanted to talk about what events we're planning to do.
Yes, that is what is on the itinerary, and I've led us on a garden path of distraction and tomfoolery, and I apologize.
We'll be there from we'll be there every day for Adeptcon, all the Wednesday to Sunday. So any days, the only days that are really busy are I think Saturday is the. Is it Saturday? No, it's Friday. That's Dreadball or Dead Zone Tournament. Friday.
You might as well be asking me what's the URL of our websites. I don't know.
So yes, Friday is the Dead Zone Tournament and the Mech War for Mech Battles, like we did the first year at Defcon.
Yes,
there's three heats of that. A lot of people are in that if they're not playing the Dead Zone Tournament or later ones if they're not playing in the Firefight Tournament. And then on Thursday is the jet bike races. We promised to be in them last year. We never made it.
That story has been told time and time again, so we don't have to.
We're in Heat 3. I think Heat 3 is sold out. So, you'll have to get another heat, but maybe meet us in the finals. But, there's two other heats you can go in to play the jet bikes, so.
Definitely meet us in the finals, because we're gonna win. All of us are gonna win. Only one of us can go to the finals.
I think top two go to the finals.
Oh, so yeah, Rob and I will be going
to the finals. Right. I guarantee that.
No, I'm flexing on everyone right now.
Anyway, so the tournament. I'm not going to be in the Dead Zone Tournament. I'll be helping run the tournament with Shane.
And I'm officially in the Dead Zone Tournament, but I am also – I will be talking to Community Pat, His Eminence, to make sure that the – if there's a discrepancy in the even number of players.
Yeah, but you're actually paid now. You're a paid member. Last year you never paid.
But I would...
You volunteered.
Yes, but I would still prefer to see someone new come in. Someone who really has a heart set. Also, if... I'm a giver. I'm a giver. For any of you young ladies out there who...
Nope. There is remaining capacity. There's 3 spots left. All right, it's almost sold out. Almost 20 people already. Pat said that I think that they could even fit some more, even above 20. So
that's shocking. We are months away.
Yeah,
and Dead Zone is like already sold.
90 days out or something. 95 days out.
We were talking earlier that the year after, if this continues, we might the Mantic will have to do something either. Expand exponentially the Dead Zone or make a...
They always said that they should have the regular tournament like this, 20 people. But they also should do like an open tournament where anything's allowed, any elite lists.
The elite lists and stuff.
Mercs, that kind of stuff. Let all out. Not who cares who wins because it's not going to be fair no matter what. But just to have fun. Everybody just brings their biggest, baddest stuff. And everybody could bring the Yarn Starnafall if you want to be all jerk faces about it. But... most likely we'll get some interesting combos or...
They'll have to do something because there's the
I think that'd be a good idea. It seems like Dead Zone's getting bigger and bigger, which is we're glad to hear. Out of all the Mantic tournaments, it's the one that's sold the most right now. So that's pretty good.
That's good. That is good.
Like Firefight's close behind it, but they're selling out. So please, if you want to play at Adeptcon, you're going to be there. Jump in there, buy your ticket. Because you probably won't be able to just walk in and play, it seems like this year.
I guess that is the takeaway from this, is if you're planning to play in the Dead Zone tournament or you want it or even as an inkling, you might want to jump on it because I'm shocked too. We are so far away and yet it's already selling out.
Yeah, it's great. And yeah, so we'll be there. I don't know, I'll also be playing in a Test of Honor tournament on Sunday. But other than that, that's about it.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll have a lot of open time to play games. We'll hopefully play some Star Saga, hopefully play some Dead Zone, hopefully play some, maybe we'll actually get taught Firefight. We were promised last year, it never happened.
Yeah. So much stuff to do, so little time.
So yeah, or any other games too. You have a game? Bring it on down, we'll play it. And I think that might wrap this episode up.
I think so. This was a good one, I think.
We waffled enough. We didn't have an unboxing, but we were able to...
I think there's enough news. There's enough contributors. We have we have Matthew Mountain sending his stuff. We have your mythical Fisty Glue Man sending his stuff. We have a ton of people who are participating and being part of the community. We don't need Star Saga. In fact... If we never mention Star Saga again on this podcast, I'd be just as happy.
No, you won't, because we'll be getting it soon.
Yeah, and I want to pay some nameless. I don't want their nameless.
That won't be till Wave 2, but...
If there's anything that's going to knock me off of the bandwagon of Beerman, which I've been on for years, it'll be the nameless.
That might be your go-to?
It might be, because they got real Ryoleth in there, and I...
Ryoleth, right up in your bunghole.
Well, I got uncomfortable.
Just like the back seat of a Volkswagen Bug.
Yes.
Anyways, we'll be back next time. We'll have team building exercise. This one's the Reps? Elite Reps?
Yes, it is.
And that'll be coming out soon. Happy holidays. We'll see you in January. And maybe if we do get Star Saga and we have time, maybe we'll throw in a 0.5 episode with an unboxing.
It's the holidays. We'll have time. We're going to get loosey-goosey. We're going to be just throwing out some stuff out there. You'll be like, what? What's going on? What lit the fire under their asses? It's going to happen. We got the skills to pay the bills.
No promises. So until next time, I've been Rob.
And I'm Jack.
And this has been Dead Zone, the podcast. Have a good one.
I love you.
Thank you for listening to the Dead Zone podcast. I have been your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen. Visit the website, deadzonegame.podbean.com. Email your hosts at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can follow the show at Dead Zone Podcast. The Dead Zone Podcast is a production of Vinlando Time Radio Productions.